أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرسل ملك الموت إلى موسى على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام، فلما جاءه لطمه موسى فقطع عينه، فرجع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى مفقود العين، فقال: يا رب، لقد أرسلتني إلى عبد من عبادك ما يريد الموت. فرد الله تعالى إليه عينه ثم قال له: ارجع إليه وقل له أن يدع يده على متن الثور، فله بكل ما غطت به نفس يده بكل شعرة سنة. فرجع إلى موسى فأخبره بما قال الله تعالى وهو مرجوع العين، فقال موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام: ثم ماذا؟ قال الملك: ثم الموت. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم الآن. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: فسأل الله تعالى موسى أن يدنيه من الأرض المقدسة، ولو كنت ثم لأريتكم مكان قبره. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told us in the authentic hadith that has been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angel of death was sent to his prophet and his messenger Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. And when Musa came, or when the angel of death came to Musa, he came to him in the form of a man, a regular human being. He went to Musa and he said to Musa, as it is in one of the narrations, Ajib Rabbaka, answer the call of your Lord, it's time to die. Upon hearing that, Musa punched him in his eye and knocked his eye out of the socket. So he was eyeless. After that, the angel of death went back to Allah Ta'ala. And he said to his Lord, O Lord, you sent me to one of your servants from your many servants, and he doesn't want to die. So Allah Ta'ala replaced and returned to him his eye, and he sent them back to Musa, and he said, return to him and tell him to put his hand on the back of an ox and to grab the back of the ox. For verily, every single piece of hair that he grabs on the back of the ox, it will represent the amount of years that he has to live. So if he puts his hand on the ox and he gets a handful of hair, for every strand of hair, it will represent a year of his life. So the angel of death went back to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he informed him of the statement of Allah Ta'ala. After viewing this, that the angel went away with a lost eye, and now he came back with an eye in place, it's clear to Musa this isn't an ordinary situation. Now he knows this is the angel of death. After hearing that statement, Musa said, if I put my hand on the back of the ox and I do what you say that Allah said to do, then what's going to happen after that? The angel of death said, and then you have to die. So instead of wanting to live all of those years, Musa said, Allahumma al-an, oh Allah, cause me to die right now. And then he asked Allah Ta'ala to cause him to die so that he can be buried close to Jerusalem, al-ard al-muqaddasa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had I been in that place right now with you people, I would show you the grave of Musa right now. This authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to study it today. And we want to say to the people clearly, as you all know, the servants, all of us, are tried on a daily basis. And from the trials and tribulations that we have to deal with, are those trials that deal with our dunya. How many hours some of us have to work. How much money some of us have to pay. How many debts we have to repay back from the loans that we took. That's the fitna of the dunya, where some of us live, and how some of our living conditions are. And then we have the trials that are connected to our religion. And those are the greatest trials that the human being can face. Those ibtilas that are connected to his religion. So from the many ibtila that the abd is faced with in his religion is the issue of believing in the unseen. The issue of believing in the unseen, especially when it entails some marvelous and magnificent information, like this hadith. For verily this is from the akhaf al-khasa'if that you will find the believers being described with. Their belief in the unseen. For a human being to believe in that which he never saw, that which cannot be proven, it's just that he sets his mind up to accept it because he believes. And for that reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in speaking about the virtues of the people of this ummah who came in the latter time, when he said, "Ummati kal matar, la yudra al khayr fi awwalihi or fi akhirihi." My ummah is like the rain. You don't know, is the good in the first part of it or is the good in the last part of it? Meaning what? When the rain comes down, no one in his right mind can argue the fact and the point that the most important part of the rain is when it first comes down. And the other person says the best part of the rain is the last part of the rain. No, it's good in both of them. And the same thing with this ummah. Those people who came at the beginning, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Umar and Ali and the rest of the companions, radiallahu anhum, they were chosen for a specific reason because the consequences of accepting Islam at that time was tremendous. It needed some serious, dedicated men to carry the risala. And they were persecuted and murdered for the cause of Allah. So that was good, but they had the opportunity to see the miracles unfold in front of their very eyes. So it was easy for them to believe. It was easier for them to believe. Whereas the people who come after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died, it's a bit more difficult because you've never seen him. You've never seen the companions. You've never seen those miracles. So this is from what Allah Ta'ala has given us virtues in. Concerning this hadith of Musa, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, before we explain, we have to tell you that unfortunately this hadith and other hadith like it, it caused a fitna for people in their mind and in their belief. There are those people, as we hear, who say, لا يمكنني أن أصدق وأقبل وأؤمن بهذا الحديث لأنه لا ينسجم مع عقلي المقصف. I can't accept this hadith and I don't believe in it because it doesn't go along with my intellect. Here you have Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the major scholars, one of the major prophets in our Islam, from the Ulul Azam, from the five major prophets that Allah mentioned in the Quran, Noah, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And here he knows the ayat of the Quran, or the meaning of it, kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. Every soul will taste death. Musa knows that better than any of us. There's not a single one of us sitting here except that we believe that we have an appointment with the angel of death. How is it that we believe it and we accept that? And Musa, on the other hand, when the angel comes to him, he wants to fight and he doesn't want to die. So they say it goes against the Quran. Even though that hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, it goes against the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he told us, من أحب لقاء الله أحب الله لقاءه ومن كره لقاء الله كره الله لقاءه. Whoever loves to meet Allah, then Allah will love to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah will hate to meet him. How is it possible? That's a regular Ahmed and Bilal and Abdullah. He wants to meet Allah with all the sins that he has. But he wants to meet Allah and he wants to go to paradise. And yet, Musa from the major companions, from the major prophets and messengers, he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to submit. He doesn't want to meet Allah. He's hidden the angel, who is greater in his creation than the human being. How does Musa knock his eyeball out? He's an angel. Allah has angels who can crush all of the human beings. How can he knock the angel's eye out? And then hate to meet Allah Ta'ala. All of these issues, brothers and sisters, are the issues of a shaitan that he introduces into the mind of the person who gives his intellect too much authority and a higher place than what it deserves. So before explaining to you this hadith and how we understand it, let me just make two very clear points. The first point is, all of us have to recognize, which you will do, to the fact that Allah Ta'ala has created His creation. And all of His creation, they are limited. We don't have unlimited powers and ability. Our senses that we have are limited. Your ability to see and to hear, to smell and to feel and to taste is limited. What do you think about the person who sits in front of you and he says, that which I hear right now is the only thing I'm going to believe in. Nothing else exists. That which I see right now is the only thing that I'm going to believe in. Nothing outside of this masjid exists. We wouldn't give that person the time of day because he lost his mind. And we don't think that there's a human being who believes that or who would say that. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala has created the human being and your intellect is limited. Allah hasn't given us as human beings the ability to comprehend everything in His creation. So there are those things that when we hear about them, we say we believe in it, and we hear and we obey. And then there are those other things that we don't delve into, like the issue of the divine decree. It's from the secrets of Allah, and it's a dark street that we shouldn't go down trying to figure it all out. That's with Allah Ta'ala. The second issue is, even though you don't understand something, Abdullah, there are those people who Allah has created who are better than you, who understand and who understood. Those people who accept the hadith that can be found in Bukhari and Muslim, and they understand that just as you take the Quran, you have to take the hadith. Especially if that hadith is contained in al-Bukhari and Muslim. If you're going to reject a single hadith from that book, then you might as well go and reject what has been preserved for you from the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So how do we understand this issue with Musa? As for the ayah of the Quran, كل نفس ذائقة الموت, every single soul will have a taste of death. How can Musa know this for a fact? He called to it, he practiced it, he preached it, he lived it. How can he know that like we know it and then repel death? How? Wallahi, this ayah doesn't have anything to do with the issue. There is no contradiction and it has nothing to do with the issue. As a matter of fact, Musa practiced by punching his eye out what all of us have been ordered to practice. And that is, if someone comes to harm the Muslim, it is not the opinion of Islam that foreign weak concept, turn the other cheek. If the enemy comes from Britain and they want to take your land in India and they want to annex India and make it Pakistan and India and all of this, the ulama over there say, okay, you want to take our land? We're going to give you our oceans and our lakes. This is a foreign concept. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man qutila min dun dunhi fa huwa shaheed. Whoever is killed protecting himself, he dies as a shaheed. When Musa punched that angel's eye out, he practiced a ruling in Islam. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من افترى على بيت قوم بغير إذنهم هل له من يفقه عينه. If someone has the nerve and the audacity to peek inside of the house of a people, of a family, of a man without their permission, those people inside of that family have the right to poke his eye out. So if someone did that to you during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and your eye was poked out, he wouldn't have to pay any blood money for that. So when a man comes to Musa and he doesn't know who he is, and a man says, answer the call of your Lord. You have to die. Musa defends himself. Now if someone came to you, Ya Abdullah, and you were about to get into your car, and one of these people came to you, and he tried to harm you, and he tried to harm your wife, take your money, and you have the ability to defend yourself, are you going to say to yourself, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ, and then you get on your knees and say, kill me, take my money, rob me? No. So it's clear that the ayah doesn't mean that. As for the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to his companions this hadith, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah ta'ala loves to meet him. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah ta'ala hates to meet him. When he said that to his companions, as Abu Huraira narrated radiallahu anhu, the companion said in response, Ya Rasulullah, laqad halakna ma minna ahadun illa wa huwa yakrihu al-maut. Ya Rasulullah, all of us are destroyed. All of us are losers because there is not a single one from amongst us except that he hates death. Everyone hates death. The prophet, the messenger, the shuhada, everyone hates death. It is natural for the human being to hate death. There's nothing wrong with that. How can you think Musa hates to die, he doesn't want to meet Allah? They said there is not a single one from amongst us except that he hates death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to explain, لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ وَلَكِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا حُضِرَ يعني أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَمُوتِ إِذَا حُضِرَ بُشِّرَ بِرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَضْوَانِهِ وَجَنَّتِهِ فَأَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاؤُهُ وَالْكَافِرُ إِذَا حُضِرَ بُشِّرَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابِهِ وَنَارِهِ فَكَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ وَكَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاؤُهُ. He said, the believer, the meaning of that hadith that the people take to misunderstand to say, how can Musa have that opinion? He said, the meaning of that is, if the believer is about to die, while he's on his deathbed, wherever he is about to die, if he did the good deeds in this life, when he's about to die, if he's from the people of paradise, if he's a believer, he's going to be given glad tidings of the mercy of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. And he's going to go to paradise. And he's going to see that and hear that. So he'll say in response, Allahumma akam as-saa. Allah, establish the hour. I'm ready to die, I'm ready to meet you. For what I see from your mercy and your pleasure and what's in paradise. So Allah loves to meet him. As for the disbeliever, how can we understand Musa is from the disbeliever? As for the disbeliever, before they die, when they're on their deathbed, one of them gets stabbed, and he's losing blood, and he's dying, or he's dying from cirrhosis of the liver, or he's in a coma, whatever his case is, he is told about his fate. And he's shown all of the punishment that he has to receive. The anger of Allah, the punishment of Allah, and finally he's going to go to the hellfire. So he says, Allahumma, la tuqim as-saa. Oh Allah, don't establish the hour. I don't want to meet you. I'm not ready to meet you. It's just what I have to go through. So when he hates to meet Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala hates to meet him. So this concept that the people have, that we may have, about not wanting to die, we have to be in the middle court concerning it, like we have to be in the middle court concerning everything else. It is natural for a human being to hate death. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Ta'ala said about himself, in establishing for us one of the many characteristics of our Lord. How is Allah? What does he do? What does he not do? The Prophet said that Allah Ta'ala said, مَا تَرَبَّتُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَائِلُهُ تَرَبَّدُّي عَنْ نَفْسِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَقْرَبُ الْمَوْتِ. Allah said, I do not hesitate concerning anything that I want to do, like I hesitate to take the soul of the believer who hates to die. That taradduq and that hesitation is a hesitation that is befitting Allah's majesty, is with him, he knows how, we have to believe in it. The way he does it, we don't know about it and we shouldn't look for that. But it's a point that Allah Ta'ala hesitates because he acts,
He ate Sadat. And the Prophet forbid us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from having the fallen desire. When he told us, لَا تَتَمَنُّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوْ. Do not hope to wish. Do not hope and wish to meet the enemy. We have an enemy. It shouldn't be your desire to say, I want to go and throw myself and just have a fight with him. No. It's better for the believer to continue to live. If life is better for you. You know what? You have so many opportunities to continue to do the good and to continue to make tawbah from the evil that you perform. If Allah Ta'ala was about to take any of us today, most of us would be in trouble. Most of us would be in trouble. So our life, if it's prolonged, is going to be better for us. More opportunities to come to the prayer, more opportunities to make the istighfar, more opportunities to ask Allah Ta'ala to overlook what we put forth and to forgive us for what we put forth. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, the angel of death is ever so close to each and every one of us. As each day passes, you have to believe. Some of you who I see here, you're wearing shirts and ties and you're professionals, mashallah. Some of you have to hurry up back to work because you have this meeting or that meeting to attend. How would it be to go for the job interview, to go to the meeting that you have, and you're fumbling around with your presentation? You're stumbling and you're not prepared to articulate what's in your heart. The people who are meeting with you, they're going to say, he's an idiot. He's ignorant. He doesn't take me serious. So we're not going to give him the job. We're not going to give him the project. We're not going to cooperate him. He's not going to get our money. He's not professional enough. Wallahi, those meetings that we are set up to go to today and tomorrow, it's not sure whether we're going to see them. Maybe the other side won't come. Maybe you won't come. Maybe someone will get sick. Maybe it'll get canceled. But that meeting with the angel of death is going to happen. And who will go to the meeting fumbling with what he has to say, with his word? Who's going to have enough sense to say, right now I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity? Life, good health, good mind, money, and I'm going to prepare myself for the meeting with the angel of death, who was ever so close. We ask Allah Ta'ala to save us from the disease of being from the Aqlaniyin, the people who put their minds before the text, and he makes up of those people who take the naql and they put the naql before the aql. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَنَا وَلَكُمُ الْهِدَايَةَ وَالتَّوْفِيقَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he told us in a tremendously important hadith, and they're all important. As we mentioned to some of our brothers before, the majority of the people, if you were sitting, you were to look at them, most of us, you'll find that the majority of the sons and the daughters of Adam, they're egotistical. They think more about themselves and their opinions than what is right. And the proof of that is, they're never wrong. They always point the finger to the wife, or she always points it to the husband. Every time they sit down to communicate and to discuss, it's always, it's your fault, your fault. For 10 years you've been married, and it's always the other person's fault. When you ask a person about something, it is not from his tahassul. He doesn't have any knowledge about it. You can ask him about anything. It's not from what he knows. He's not an expert in it. But he'll give you his professional expert opinion. Why? Because everyone has an opinion that he's higher than what he really is. And this is a fitna. But the Prophet told us a hadith that is tremendously important, ikhwan, in which he told us, أوحي إلي أن لا يفتخر أحد على أحد وأن تتراجعوا بين أنفسكم. He said, it has been revealed to me in this hadith, it has been revealed to me that None of you should feel proud and you should boast over someone else. Be easy and calm and humble. Don't boast. I'm an Arab, you're not Arab. I'm from India, you're from Pakistan. I'm from Trinidad, you're from Pakistan. I know that you come from Trinidad and that your uncle or your origin is from India or Pakistan, but me as a Pakistani, I'm a more legit Muslim than you because we're closer to Islam because we eat halal, and in Trinidad and the islands, you don't eat halal. To some of the opinions of the Muslims. He said it has been revealed to me that no one should brag and boast over someone else, and you people should be humble between yourselves. Humility to be humble. What we want to take from this hadith that deserves a discussion by itself is the statement, Uhiya ilayya. It has been revealed to me to say this. And you don't find that statement in the Quran as such. So what do we understand from that hadith? We understand from that hadith that the explanation of the Quran is the responsibility of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is revelation, just as the Quran is revelation. Just as Allah ta'ala sent the whole Quran to the Baytul Maqdis. He revealed the Qur'an at one time, Laylatul Qadr, the whole Qur'an to the Baytul Maqdis in the sky. And from that place, Jibril came and he brought it piecemeal for 23 years. It was revealed according to the necessity. Just as that Qur'an was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sunnah, which is the explanation of that Qur'an, is also revelation from Allah ta'ala. Uhiya ilayya. It has been revealed to me. His job or his wazifa is to explain to the people what has been revealed to him. So with that being the case, ikhwan, I say to you again and I repeat and I reiterate a million times. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has been contained in those books that you all know about, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and the many other books. I'm telling you, if it's an authentic hadith, it's revelation from Allah, because the Prophet told us in another ayah, in another hadith, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمَا مِثْلُهُ مَعَهُ. Verily, I've been given the Qur'an, and what is like unto it? What is like unto it? So if you're going to reject these hadiths when they're authentic, you might as well start rejecting the ayahs of the Qur'an like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. You might as well reject the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Inna Deena Inda Allahi Islam. You might as well reject all of those ayats and all of those statements of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Now it's possible that in some of those books that we mentioned that we find weak hadith. No doubt about that. People who have evil in their heart, Muslims who have evil in their heart, Jews, enemies, hypocrites, who has evil in their heart, they create a hadith. Mistakes that people made, hadith came and they're not authentic. I want to prove that the Arabs are better than everyone else, so I create a hadith and I say, if Allah loves the people, he'll make them Arab. And if he doesn't love people, he'll make them from the A'ajam. I'm Hanafi. May Allah ta'ala have mercy upon Abu Hanifa, but I hate the Shafi'i person, so I'll create a hadith and I say, verily there's a man who's going to come to my ummah who is harder and more harmful on my ummah than the Dajjal. Who is he? Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallam. So we recognize that they're weak hadith. But, brothers and sisters in Islam, for your information, take this last statement and hold on to it with your nawajib. Hold on to it with your mawlid. Don't stick it in your pocket with someone come and steal it. Hold on to it with your mawlid. Anytime you find a hadith that has been agreed upon by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, sell your mother and your father. Ransom both of them off along with your children before you think that it's weak. Before you think that it's weak. As Al-Imam al-Uza'i said, Al-Shami rahimullahu ta'ala, السنة قادية على القرآن. The sunnah the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it has the precedent over the Quran. You know what? It's what is going to explain to us how to worship Allah Ta'ala, and it's going to explain to us the Quran. So we ask Allah, we're not going to be the people who want to try to swing and kick and get out of trouble. Because even if that's your case, wallahi, he has too much power over you, because he's not going to come to us as a man. He's going to come to us and he's going to snatch people's souls out with the tremendous snatches. So we ask Allah to prepare us all for that day, to forgive from all of us what we've had, and to help us to realize from today we all should make the tajdeed of our niyyah, the renewal to make our niyyah that we're going to try to do that which is right, to get the money that's halal and to stay away from the money that's haram. So watch what we say and what we do and our behavior. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make easy for all of you your conditions in this life and the next life, and to make us of those people who love and look forward to meeting Allah Ta'ala because of the bushra that they receive when it's time to die.